I want to thank you for checking out another podcast of Ferocious Talk, where we ain't scared. My name is A1, and last week's podcast was really good. We talked about it was the Nels 51 Deuces Smoke and Ride interview. So if you haven't heard that, get on over to podomatic.com under Society and Culture. You can also find me on iTunes under the category Personal Journals. Also, get on over to weaintscared.com. Weaintscared.com, that was an effort to support those in Flint and the water crisis, that nonprofit. We will choose specific or certain causes that we will support actively, and a portion of the proceeds from the selling of specific merchandise, and that will go to help that specific cause. Okay, weaintscaredrecords.com. Please get on over to that website. This came out of the Flint tour. Again, we felt like there was so many talented people that were donating their time that we wanted to give back and try to pull them together, right? And so the label came out of that. Detroit. Yes, Detroit. We're going to be seeing a lot of you in 2018. So listeners, please be on the lookout for that. And also, let me quickly shout out Golden Boy and Nels 51 Deuces again. Also, want to shout out Black Lives Matter. Always want to do that. Please, Black Lives Matter. Keep doing what you're doing. All we ever say is that Black Life Matters. All right, let's go ahead and jump into today's topic. And it is, what's worse, racism or sexism? Again, what's worse, racism or sexism? Now, some of this, and I have notes here, two or three different pieces of paper. I also have it on my phone, so I apologize if the call initially, or the podcast, I should say, initially sounds a little disjointed, but as usual, if you bear with me, I will pull all of this together. Now, this started with the whole Cam Newton situation, the Carolina quarterback, Carolina Panthers, and the recent Dannon yogurt incident where a female reporter was asking him about routes, and he said, funny, I'm not used to a female asking about routes. Now, he didn't call her a bee. He didn't call her a hoe or anything like that. But he did, in the end, wind up facing a lot of criticism, and he ultimately lost his endorsement. Dannon yogurt. I think it's Oikos yogurt, O-I-K-O-S. But the irony of the whole situation was that the white female reporter, all right, she is a racist. She, and on Twitter from years past, a few years, we would joke about how much she enjoyed her father's racist jokes, right? And she didn't lose anything. See, this is the irony of it all. Racists or outward racists, they don't lose anything. They can apologize, say, I'm sorry, and they keep their job. They don't lose anything. But when a black man seemingly makes a mistake or an error in judgment, he loses financially. So that's the other double standard in all of this. And I'm certain that that's a completely different podcast, but I'll try to, you know, tie all of that together on this one. And again, you know, what's worse, racism or sexism? So let me go to my notes here. My thoughts are that racism is a worse problem than sexism in America. And when I say sexism, I mean specifically that there are forces at work to keep women subjugated by paying them less or limiting their opportunity for upward mobility in corporate America. So I'm acknowledging that sexism is a problem, right? First of all, affirmative action helps white women more than it helps any black person. Let's get that straight up front. Affirmative action helps more white women than it does any black person. As a matter of fact, I recall seeing a Huffington Post photo of the room of white writers, and all of them were white females. There was not a black face in the room. Okay, now, yes, they will say, well, you have Huffington Post black voices, but why do we have to be segregated? But that's a whole nother topic of discussion. All right, let's continue. Also, women have never faced the type of historical oppression and brutality that black people have faced in the last 400 years in America with 3 K's. So to me, sexism is a white female issue because white women have a greater chance at achieving more professionally than their female black or even male counterparts in the workforce. Sexism to me is a platform for feminists to express their desire to be treated equally, paid equally, and equally perceived. Now, not that that's bad. Let me be clear. I'm not saying that in a bad way. The issue that I have is that proponents that seek to battle sexism never speak about racism and their desire to combat that. Whereas people that speak out against racism, okay, seem to have an all-encompassing message. Don't discriminate against me and give me a fair opportunity no matter what. So racism includes sexism, the battle against sexism. But for whatever reason, sexism, they don't want to mention racism. So let me just continue. So in other words, I've not heard proponents against sexism speak out against racism. Okay, but again, people that speak out against racism by default attack sexism due to the equal treatment component. So you see that that's how I'm tying it together. Now, if, as I stated earlier, white women are the primary voices behind sexism elimination, not that they're the only ones, right? Then the question becomes, how come they don't speak out against racism at the same time? Now, some might argue that there is no connection. However, I would argue that oppression of black people in any way is racism, right? So sexism against black women, right? That is a form that it's housed in racism, all right? So it begins to feel like there's an attempt to separate or disassociate white female professionals, going back to that reporter, the white female professional disadvantages from racism to prevent being lumped into, and this is where it all ties, black oppression. Okay, when in reality, it is black people and our fight for civil rights that opened the door for affirmative action. So understand, it was because of civil rights. That was the first step that led to affirmative action, right? Which the perception was it was going to help more black people. But in the end, it wound up helping more white people. So, which as I stated, now, again, it benefits white women more than black people. So the question is it okay for white women to receive the benefits of fighting sexism without the drawbacks of fighting against racism? Okay, I say no. My belief is whenever sexism is mentioned, it should be followed up with the statements about racism and how they both go hand in hand. If more white women don't speak out and condemn racism at the same time that they're fighting against sexism, it can be perceived that you ally yourself with black people when it's convenient to your position. But as soon as it appears that aligning yourself with black people could weaken your position or success in fighting sexism, you keep quiet or disassociate yourself from the topic. Again, this has to change. Black people don't have the luxury of picking certain parts or components inside of racism to stand on in an effort to avoid the full impact or perception of fighting racism. We get the whole load. Okay, there are no exceptions whatsoever. The other insulting aspect of white women that are fighting sexism is that when they do make strides, again, they rarely include people of color, we'll say black women, in their success or upward progress. And again, going back to that all-white female writing staff at Huffington Post as an example, okay? Now, again, they do have a black component to the Huffington Post, but again, integration should be the key, not segmentation, okay? And this will show progress, progressiveness. So it should be more about working to have women of color in the room or men of color with their white female counterparts so that the real collaboration can take place and the real change can happen. Do I think sexism will ever go away? No. Much like racism may never go away. But if we're going to make strides, white women fighting sexism should become more vocal about including how racism plays a part in sexism too. All right. Well, I know that was a lot. You'll probably have to listen to that a couple of times. But the point is, we have to tear down the walls of separation in this battle against oppression. It is something that I realize that other people have their own fights against oppression. But if we don't go back and take care of the very first group, meaning black people that have suffered the worst from racism, oppression, bigotry in America, then no one is safe, right? That goes back to that MLK quote, justice against anyone is an injustice for everyone, right? And I know that I just summed that up, but it just goes to the heart of we have to work together. And white women have got to also step up and be more vocal. I'm not saying that they're not, but this is also when you're around your white male husbands, your white male boyfriends who may be exhibiting some racist behavior, okay? Because that's the other step, part, and component that has to be dealt with, all right? Well, I want to thank you for checking out another podcast of Ferocious Talk. You got some good food for thought. My name is A1, and we ain't scared.